may be seated. It's my privilege to introduce to you Pastor Justin Bradbury from our Sea to Sky Network in Western Canada. So I invite you to make him feel welcome here at Sunnyside this morning.
Thanks, Jesse. Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you today and bring greetings from my family and my congregation and our family of congregations in Western Canada. And if you've got a Bible and want to follow along, I'll be looking at Psalm 96 this morning for a few moments together. Now, I was given this fancy little clicker thing here that I'm supposed to function and work properly. So hopefully, every time I go like this, it'll make something happen on screen. I'm speaking to you today about being God's family on mission. My wife Angie and I celebrated 28 years of marriage yesterday, just yesterday. And she was gracious enough to let me get on a plane and come here. We celebrated on Thursday night, of course, ahead of time, but I'm thankful to her because we truly have so far enjoyed a partnership in the gospel and in marriage together these 28 years of faith, love, and shared mission. But very often over these years, we've experienced, like many do, seasons of valley and challenge and difficulty. Very often related to facing and overcoming fear in life. Over a decade ago, our family stepped out in faith, there it is, and together with our three children planted a brand new Wesleyan church in the city of Winnipeg. We lived in Winnipeg for a long time, almost 20 years. Don't talk to me about cold. I know cold. Don't talk to me about mosquitoes. I know mosquitoes. But we had a wonderful time together as a family starting a ministry directed at first-generation immigrants and international students. And it was our three children, Josiah, Samantha, and Hannah, who helped us launch the International Place of Friendship in that city, a center of love and service and the gospel for international students and first-gen immigrants. And over the years and within that center was birthed New Horizons Church, which today is a thriving intercultural congregation of about 150 people, 80% of whom are foreign-born and have come to this country and either have found Jesus through that local church or already were Christians and were eager to help the church advance its mission in that city. Now, where is Pastor Drew? Is he even around here right now? Pastor Drew, I have a little presentation to make to you in light of my long tenure in Winnipeg before moving to Calgary. I understand something hasn't happened for the Ottawa Senators. But I invite you to fly the flag of the Winnipeg Jets today on this seventh game tonight. And we pray that they will be successful. Things have changed a lot for our family, of course, over those years. My son is 24, lives in the United States, is married now, and is a pastor himself. My eldest daughter, Samantha, is 21, just finished her third year of university in Edmonton. My youngest is Hannah. She's still at home with us, and I would say Hannah is living large, getting away with all of the things her older siblings never got away with. To top it all off, my parents now live with us too. They moved to Calgary a couple of years ago, and we have a multi-generational home, which means I'm truly living the sandwich generation dream, for those of you who may relate to that. When the kids were young, I had this rule that we always ate dinner together around the table. I'm sure many of you did that too. And we would have a short prayer and Bible reading. And although we continue to, of course, pray with our daughter Hannah, things look a little different now in our home. Because at supper time, we pick up our meal from the stove and we go sit in the family room and we watch reruns of Fear Factor together. That's how we spend our meal times now. And some time ago, after a particularly disgusting episode of Fear Factor, Hannah said to me, "Dad, would you be afraid of dangling from a helicopter, trying to catch up all those flags and get as many as you can?" I said, "No, not really, because, you know, I'd be tethered to the helicopter." She said, "Would you be afraid of eating all of those bugs?" I said, "No, probably not, because I'd puke them all up after, so no problem." She said, "Well, what about being submerged in that clear glass coffin underwater and you have to find the lock and get out?" I said, "Probably not, because I love the water. I love to swim. That would be okay." She was silent for a moment, and then she said, "Well, I guess that means the only thing you're afraid of is Mom." And that could be true. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 10, if you have a Bible or just prefer to follow on screen. I love this chapter, and I call this chapter a hinge chapter in the Bible, because in fact, Psalm 96 connects us to the ancient story of God's mission for God's people with Abraham, and his story of being called by God to leave his home and to go to an unknown place, not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And then Psalm 96 swings over into the New Testament and connects us to the story of God's mission through God's church after it was born on the day of Pentecost. So this is a significant chapter in the Bible. King David says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am so encouraged and my confidence renewed by the truth of these words. Psalm 96 compels us to joyfully and fearlessly offer our lives to God as an act of worship and in partnership with his mission in the world. King David called God's people to sing with joy, for the Lord is near, and to share God's word fearlessly at home and afar among all peoples. This passage inspired the formation of a new mission initiative in Western Canada called the Sea to Sky Network. And out in the foyer today, I have a small table with a card on there that invites you to get to know what it is we do in Western Canada. We call it the Sea to Sky Network because our vision for gospel multiplication extends from the seashores of British Columbia to the big skies of Manitoba. In 2021, our DS, Dr. Eric Hallett, asked me to become his assistant for Western Canada and to develop a plan to enlarge the ministry footprint of the Wesleyan Church in Western Canada because it has been a small footprint for many, many years. God is leading us. I got it right just then, and here we go. God is leading us to multiply 25 disciple-making churches and raise up 100 leaders from the seashores of British Columbia to the big skies of Manitoba in the coming decade. And that is rooted very deeply in the soil of what King David teaches us in Psalm 96. David says in verses 1 through 2 that we are invited to sing with joy day by day, for the Lord is near. That is significant. King David says, worship God with a new song. Ascribe to him ultimate worth-ship, which is the meaning of the word worship. God, you're worth it. You're worth everything to me and my family. You're worth everything for the salvation of this world and its peoples. After God freed his people from captivity in Babylon, David brought the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. Now, no one ever goes down to Jerusalem. It's kind of like you never go down to Oxford if you're over there. One always goes up to Oxford. One always goes up to Jerusalem. Building a new future with God at the center for God's people was both life-giving and life-ordering after coming out of the chaos and the oppression of captivity. And that was because the people experienced the Lord being near, close, within their presence. His presence and power were known. And so David composed a new song of praise for the people of God to sing, and they sang for joy. No other God saves like ours does. He has made himself known to us. He has reordered our lives so that we can live with peace and purpose. And in verse 1, David says, praise is due the Lord from all the earth. And what is significant about that is that David is asserting that the Lord is not simply one of the local tribal deities that God's people had been accustomed to encountering among the peoples of the earth. David is saying the Lord who made all things is not only God for Israel, he is God and Lord of all peoples. And the same blessing and shalom and peace and purpose he gives to his people, he means for us to invite the nations of the world to experience in covenant and friendship with us. The psalmist saw a day when all the earth would sing a new song to the Lord. And this new song we are given a glimpse of from Revelation 7, 9, and 10, where John the Revelator sees before the throne of God such a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language before the throne and the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and together they cried out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In verse 2, David therefore urges God's people to proclaim this good news that the Lord saves. Worship then for ancient Israel was also to be an act of proclamation. Worship is a witness by what we do and what we say with our lives day by day. Worship is not limited to the goodness of the singing we have done here this morning. Scripture repeats the command to sing a new song to the Lord some 400 times because the Lord is contemporary to every generation. When God revives the hearts of his people and reorders our lives around his person and character and mission, new songs emerge from God's people. They rise up spontaneously and they change the atmosphere in which we think about and orient and structure our lives day by day. And we do so that the nations around us might also taste and see the Lord is good. Is your life, is your witness giving others around you day by day a taste of the goodness of Jesus, a smell of the fragrance of who he is, and an experience of goodness and grace and shalom simply by being in your presence? Examples of a new song emerging in mission abound in church history. You will know that Martin Luther abandoned the Latin version of the Bible, translated it into German so that his own people could understand the scriptures better. In the 18th century, early Methodists in Atlantic Canada and here in areas of Eastern Ontario brought together black, white, and indigenous peoples to form discipleship classes in which they sang together, taught each other, served the community around them together, and by doing so, enacted the present power of the kingdom of Jesus on the earth. Kingdom life is not only something for when I die and go to heaven. We're meant to have and to share a taste of kingdom life here and now, with Jesus at the center. In the 19th century, it was William Booth who said, "Why should the devil have all the good music?" and stole the bar tunes and set Christian lyrics to them that so many could identify with. God delights in our worship and our witness when it emerges from hearts renewed by his nearness. Oh Lord, you are near. And when you're near, my pride melts, my stubbornness wanes, my confession of my need for you and of my sins comes out in the open, and I am changed, and we become a changed people, and a changed people affect change in other people's lives. We can't help it when the Lord draws near. Now, as part of my work in Western Canada, I get a front seat seeing new songs rise up through many of our church planting projects across the Western provinces. And 3 years ago, when Eric called and said, "I want you to be the assistant DS for the West, and here's what I want you to do," he said, "And here's your first assignment." He said, "We're having some difficulties, some challenges with our Mandarin-speaking congregation in Victoria, and it's your job to fix it." I said, "Thank you very much, Eric. What do you want me to do?" He said, "Well, I'm sure you'll figure it out." So I went, and indeed, there were some challenges, and the congregation was near closure. But last year, 100 people gathered for worship on Easter Sunday, many of whom had only recently professed faith in Jesus and were baptized. 3 Sundays ago, I witnessed yet another baptism and shared in their joyful worship as that young lady in the middle picture was baptized and shared her testimony to the congregation. And although they don't yet own a building, they have a vision to multiply their congregation in nearby Langford, where there's a growing Mandarin-speaking population. At the core of their renewal is their intentional focus on prayer, studying the Word together, and strategic outreach among their people who don't yet know Jesus. And Pastor Chen is leading the charge with great diligence and care. They meet online as a congregation almost every night of the week to pray together, study the Word, and then talk about what next are we going to do to reach people for Jesus. They host English classes. They hold a Chinese New Year celebration to reach their friends for Christ. I rejoice with them because their renewed sense of the Lord's nearness has stirred up this zeal within them. Other people need to know. And we're responsible to reach who we can. And they are doing it step by step. And this is very much rooted in the goal of Psalm 96. The outflow of worship is a life on mission with Jesus. Worship is the thread that connects our heads, our hearts, and our hands together as we follow Jesus on mission in our local community. And no two churches will do it necessarily the same way because Jesus is contemporary to everywhere we live. Some years ago, a guy named Leland Ryken said about how we get the priorities mixed up. He said, "We worship our work. We work at our play, and we play at our worship." And what inspires me and motivates me as the one tasked with leading the Sea to Sky Network is that when I go to Crossway Christian Church in Victoria, I see a growing group of believers who've got the order right. And they don't do everything right, and it isn't perfect, and it's often messy, but they've got the direction set correctly. They do not play at their worship. And it shows in their life together. King David says, "Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing it with joy. And when the Lord has transformed your heart, a new song will emerge that emerges in mission." But secondly, as we see in this text today, that renewal of life in Christ leads us to share God's word fearlessly at home and afar. Verse 3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." David urges us to invest our lives into relationships with people from the nations around us and invite them into the covenant community of the Lord's safety, shalom, and salvation. And here pictured are some who are doing that across Western Canada week by week and day by day. Verse 3, "Declare his glory." What does that mean even? It means simply to show forth the impressiveness of God's character and goodness. God's character and God's goodness. Let his character form you and let his goodness flow through you. Declare his glory among the nations. He is not like the gods of the nations, David says. Ancient Israel was accustomed to being in a pluralistic society where every tribe and group had their god. And very often it was the case in that context that the gods of the nations were believed to war among themselves, hail down punishment from heaven for amusement, neglect their followers, even sleep on the job. Not so the Lord of heaven and earth, declares King David. His glory is on display not only in the beauty of his creation and the power of his sustaining word, his glory is displayed in the way our God comes down among us. He came down to part the seas for his people to walk through. He came down and struck a rock, and water flowed so that his thirsty people might have a drink. He came down with manna so that in the morning they could eat. David says, "The God we serve is not like the other gods. Our God is a God who comes down to help us, to save us, to deliver us, to change us." And that is why David asserts that the Lord is worthy of our praise in verses 4 through 6. The psalmist would not give God empty or unthinking worship. And we now see the completion of the story of redemption in the person and ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus, who is God embodied, come down to save us, who stepped down into the brokenness of our world to rescue us both from sin's guilt and sin's grip. It is not inevitable that the child of God always live in sin, John Wesley said. Jesus comes to forgive sin's guilt and to release us from sin's grip. King David says, we serve a God unlike any other. He has the power to renovate who we are from the inside out. No other God saves in this way. That's why David says in verse 5 that an idol is an imitation of the real thing. And he encourages us to avoid idols because idols, whatever they may be in our lives, leave us broken and still in our sins. David says, reject your idols, forsake your idols, turn from your idols, because only the Lord can restore a broken heart. Only the Lord can release a sin-captive life. Only Jesus can forgive and purify the guilt of sin. God wants to dwell in his people in such a way. And enjoy him forever, the great confession says. You know, this is the motivation behind what Pastor Erica Burns is doing in Red Deer these days. I don't know if any of you know Erica and Matt, but they interestingly moved from this area of the country to Red Deer, Alberta. Yes, it's redneck in Red Deer, Alberta. And they moved there to establish a multi-generational home with their family. But God called them to use their retirement years to start a church focused on healing and recovery from life's hurts and damages. Health setbacks delayed them from starting, but in recent months, Erica began an online ministry that has attracted the attention of thousands of people. She posts short messages of encouragement and hope for people in recovery on TikTok. I call her our TikTok pastor or our TikTok grandma out there. She says to the younger folks, like, get over your unwillingness to get online and do ministry. It's wonderful. She's our TikTok pastor and missionary. One of her posts recently was viewed over 30,000 times. And from this strategy, Erica has begun connecting one-on-one with people who want to talk. And just after Easter, her and Matt hosted a family in their home that they met through TikTok ministry to talk about life. But interestingly, that family had a lot of questions about Jesus. And our hope and our prayer, and we're supporting Erica in this, is that there will be more like that that can form a micro church in her home. And who knows in time what a recovery-informed church might look like in the city of Red Deer, where so many need the hope of the gospel to deliver them from the things that hold them back. Erica is a modern-day example of the Methodist circuit riders of old, but she now traverses the online mission field to share the gospel of Jesus. Pray for her, would you, as she does that. In verse 7, David alludes to God's plan for the salvation of families rooted in God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12. It was a plan for their own good, yes, but it was a plan and a promise that through them, God would bless the families of other nations surrounding Israel. The same word for families found in Genesis 12:3 is the same word used in Psalm 96:7. It refers to the fulfillment of that promise. I will bless you and make you a blessing. Not to you, yours and yours alone, but to those who are unlike you all around you. The Sea to Sky Network has a 2-year church planting residency program that we initiated 2.5 years ago. And it is a structured program of assessment and training, coaching, and then deployment of new church planters in new communities to begin new gospel works. Jesse and Cassandra Langford, graduates of Kingswood University, were our first resident pastors. They launched First Act Church last October, as I said earlier, in their home, thinking we'll be a micro church and we might have 6 or 8 people. 14 people showed up that first night. And their mission as a church is to reflect God's love with every action. They now meet in a nearby community center. Jesse grew up in a broken family that never went to church, didn't know Christ. Christ certainly was not at the center of his growing up. But at about age 20, Jesse somehow connected with someone from an organization called Young Life, some of you may know it, and was led to faith in Christ, and later found himself at Kingswood to study. He graduated Kingswood, he married Cassandra, and he found out about this residency program for church planting and called me. And he said to me, you know, I feel called by God to leave New Brunswick and go back to the very community where I grew up in Calgary to start a church among families just like the family I grew up in, single parent homes, people struggling, people far from Jesus. He said, do you think there'd be an opportunity for me to do that with Sea to Sky? And I said, yes. When can we get you on the plane and get you out here? And they came 2.5 years ago, and as I said, they've started their church. And Easter weekend, we fit about 75 people in that community hall to hear the gospel, have a meal, and have fellowship together. And the challenge that Jesse and Cassandra have is not that they don't have big hearts for people just like where Jesse came from. Their challenge is that in the world of church planting, it's bivocational. And you have to raise support. And it's tough slogging. And you don't always get the opportunity to move as quickly as you would like. And so the opportunity for Sunnyside to potentially send a team of workers to help them for one concentrated week of gospel sharing and teaching and loving on children and families in that neighborhood would be so beneficial and so appreciated. David says, finally, in verse 10, that the Lord reigns, the world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. David says, in essence, God didn't make this world in a careless way. And neither did God make your life in a careless way. He made us with intentionality and care and attention to detail. And he calls us to respond to this with thoughtfulness and resilient faith. For some of us, the thought of talking about Jesus with another brings up within us a wall of fear that might be rooted in simply, I don't know how to do it, or I'm not sure God would want me to do it, or if I do it, I might mess it up. But the psalmist encourages us to remember that the Lord who made the earth with care made you with care, and there is something in your life and your story that God wants you to share with another that will be of great benefit and blessing to them. To be God's family on mission with Jesus today means joyful worship because the Lord is near. And it means fearless proclamation of his hopeful word because no other God saves quite like Jesus does. In God's economy for mission, everyone's involvement and contribution is needed and valuable because God made us with intentionality and care to detail. Our worship and our message are not just for us. They are to be shared with those who don't yet know Jesus. I love what my friend Ed Love says about this. He says, God's delivery system has always been the local church. FedEx has the ability, Ed Love says, to send over 4 million packages to its valued customers. FedEx's delivery routes cover every North American street and service more than 220 countries. To send well, FedEx has over 170,000 employees, 675 aircrafts, 50,000 ground transportation vehicles. I've got to read my notes on this because I can't keep all that straight. And 1,800 office locations. It's a bit of a mystery, but somehow FedEx has figured out a way for customers to ship packages within a one-day turnaround. If FedEx knows anything, they know how to send well. And Ed says the church may not be in the package delivery business, but we are in the people delivery business. And that's what Jesus wants his church to be about. Send people and send them well. Send them on short term and send them for the long term. The Sea to Sky Network exists to be a mission delivery system in Western Canada. And so my invitation to you today as a congregation is to consider at your upcoming local church conference prayerfully partnering with us so that we can help support more Jessies and Cassandras to be part of the sending delivery system of the gospel. To send more Pastor Chens as part of the people delivery system of the gospel, and Erica, and many that I didn't name today because I didn't have time. Would Sunnyside become a partner with us in this? Because the truth is, we simply can't do it on our own. But I'm convinced, based on Psalm 96, that Jesus wants us to penetrate Western Canada in our own unique way as the Wesleyan Church, because God designed us with intentionality and care too. And we have a part to play in sharing the gospel in new and fresh ways with people who don't yet know how our God saves. Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you for your word. It is life, it is truth. And we're thankful because it is a hopeful word. It is a word that brings positive and everlasting change to our lives. God, thank you that you call us not only to worship you with our lives, but also to go for you wherever you need us to go. Whether it's simply across the street to our neighbor that we go home to today, across town to a mission that needs our help, or across the country to another city to help a church planter share the gospel in a more concentrated way. However you're speaking to us, Lord, count on us, Lord, to respond, because we're grateful for your work in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.